with Dog Sports has lots of options to keep your dog's four paws busy. Let's dive deeper in Four Paws Sports. Now, here are your hosts, Jeff Nieder and Mary Drexler.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Four Paws Sports Radio. I'm Jeff, and again, my co-host is Mary. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, hanging in at the Funny Farm. How are you, Jeff?
The Funny Farm, wow. I don't think I laughed too much at you tonight before we got started.
You probably should start laughing.
Oh, it's always a fun time. Every time I get a hold of you, it's always fun just because of all the dogs you get and all the fun stories.
I know, right? Well, we've got 11 dogs in the house right now, so it's nice and calm. Nice and calm.
I'm at three. Maybe it'll bump up soon. I'm getting there. It's just going to take me a little bit longer.
You got to get cooking on this now, Jeff. Come on.
I know. But I'm happy with three right now, and hopefully maybe soon to be four. Hopefully, fingers crossed. Not too much more on that, right, for the time being.
Right. That'll be an upcoming episode. It should be an upcoming episode. We can do something in the future. If four happens,
we'll make that an episode at a point in time. But, oh, gosh. Well, anything new with you lately? Anything fun that you've done?
Well, you know, I've been showing client dogs in rallies, so that's fun. I've been, I showed a Whippet for a friend of mine, and he is two legs now from his Rally Master title. He was brave. He did the things. And then I showed a couple of young dogs, got their Rally Novice titles, including a son of my Pepper. So that was kind of fun to get to show the next generation.
Nice.
You know? And he's a good little worker. He had a fun time. He was extremely enthusiastic to do his first rally trial, which cost us a couple points here and there. But boy, was he cute. Oops. So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. How about you? Anything new and exciting for you?
Well, actually, come Monday, I found out that Kyber's brother is the first of my very first litter to get a dual championship now. First a UKI championship late last year. And now as of this past weekend, he got his first mock. So I'm super thrilled. Also did not know that, as a breeder owner, that they give medallions out for those who get their championship. Did not know. So that actually might entice me to finish the last half of Kyber's championship for AKC. I don't know. So yeah, that kind of gets me in the mood to go back and tackle some of those courses. So yeah, that's kind of the news from Lake Lobe. We'll be gone on that one.
That's nice. That's exciting. Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. I guess tonight we're going to discuss kind of jumping out of the comfort zone, because I had a very, very big comfort zone jump for me, where I went to All-Star Dog Sports over in Blue Springs and got to train with a couple ladies from one from Germany and one from Sweden and or Finland. I don't remember now. It all seems kind of runs together after a while to me. But yeah, it was a fun trip where tire blows out, had to get that repaired and get a rental car, drive middle of the morning to get there in time. And yeah, that was crazy getting there out there, trying to get to the seminar in time. But I definitely had an interesting time learning from them. And I think the big thing for me was learning how to kind of step out of my comfort zone, because what I really liked and how they presented was that they did let me do my handling, but they also said, you're going to do our way for a minute here. We're going to show you a different way. We're going to make you step out of your comfort zone, which was a big thing that they pushed and what I really wanted them to do, because I think stepping outside your comfort zone makes you grow immensely as a trainer, as a handler. So the big thing that I took away was how to really drive lines better, and how to care for dog with a burn pad. That was kind of fun to treat that one on after only 4 hours of training. So, yeah, that was definitely an interesting time.
Yeah, well, I think that brings up a really good point, because I think, you know, when we hear about seminars or learning opportunities, we tend to get excited and like, oh boy, we want to go. But then when we get there, we're like, oh, but that's not how I do it. That's not how I do it. That's not how I do it. Or, ooh. And,
right.
And I think, it's valid to go, why would you do that? Or acknowledge that it's different than what you do. But I have always kind of been of the mind that if I'm going to go, I'm only going to take seminars or lessons or whatever from people I really respect and like the, you know, what they're doing, the results they're getting, how it's happening. And so my feelings have always been, why am I going right. if I don't want to change anything that I do? Or if I don't want to at least explore the possibility of changing what I do. And, right. and so, but I do think it's something that people struggle with. Like, we think we want to go learn, but sometimes what we really think what we actually want is for somebody to be like, oh, you're doing this exactly right, and you should keep doing exactly what you're doing. And that's really not the job of the seminar giver. The job of the seminar giver is to expand your horizons and give you some new things to think about. And you want to be ready to embrace that, I think, so that you can get the most out of it.
Absolutely. I think the big thing for me, it was just kind of a eye opener of, I didn't go to have me pat on the back. I didn't want them to go say, you're amazing. I went there to honestly get my socks blown off, to make me kind of like, I hate saying the word degrade, but kind of put me in my place, because right. Kyber and I have had a lot of successes. We've had a lot of great times in the last couple of years. But I haven't put myself out there to the point where I've really tested my skill sets to see where we've fallen apart. And I will say, I walked away from that seminar going, oh my God, I took a big step into a much larger pond than mm-hmm. I started in. And it opened my eyes up to going, wow, there's a lot of skill sets I haven't trained, and I need to work on those things. And yes, it was very demoralizing for me to go, crap, I don't have that skill set, so I need to buck up and I need to start training. Great time. But I think you have to go in with a completely open mindset to go, hey, I'm going to learn some new stuff. If my right. old stuff doesn't work, great. We're going to learn some new skill sets, and we're going to come away with a whole training plan. And I'm very fortunate to have my trainer, Melanie, who has been with these two ladies, Enya and Anna. Hopefully I said their names right. But she went down and she saw them in Florida and she audited, and she absolutely mm-hmm. loved them. And I sent her course maps and go, hey, here's the struggle points. This is what we need to work on when we get back into training mode. And we've been making plans and get ready to go. So it's all about, maybe not about your ego. It's not about how good your training is at that point. It's really about stepping outside of your comfort zone and truly getting that knowledge that you need, so that way you can improve. I mean, the whole thing you're paying for is you're paying for improvement. You're not paying for somebody to pat you on the back. That's not the point. Otherwise, you could just stay home and pat yourself on the back.
Right. Yeah, that's a lot of money to pay. Well, and I think you touched on, when you were talking here, something that's really important, and I think it's hard to do whether you're going to a seminar or not. And that is honestly looking at the places you're struggling. You know, what am I consistently having trouble with, or what situations am I struggling in, whether you're doing agility or obedience or whatever. And it's really easy to, when we train, you know, to kind of, we tend to want to do, the human nature is, to do the things that we're good at, to do the things that we like, and we tend to like them because we're good at them, or maybe we like them so we train them better, and then we keep doing right. them. And we tend to kind of avoid yes. those things that we aren't as good at, because maybe we're not quite sure how to train it or how to handle it, or maybe we get frustrated and we don't know what to do. And, you know, and so if you can honestly look at this and say, gosh, every time I have a big long line to a throttle wrap, I'm just not getting it. Like, we aren't getting that very consistently. And, you know, when you go into your seminar, or you go into your lesson, or you even just go in your own training plan and say, how am I? Like, you legitimately try to see, how can I make this better? This is a weak spot. And to have the, like I say, to humble yourself, to say, this is a problem, this is something I wish was better, you know, is... It takes a lot. I mean, you know, it's not an easy thing to do, but if you get in that habit, you're going to grow. And then when you go to a seminar, Absolutely. You're going to get the most you can out of the seminar. When you take a lesson, Or even if you just video your training or video your trialing and you're like, okay, I'm not, this is a weak spot. This is something I'm having trouble with. And if you will attack that stuff and really try to make it not a weakness anymore, you know, I mean, ideally you go out there and you walk a course and no matter what skill is required, you're like, all right, I got this. I mean, that's when you kind of reached, you know, promised land kind of deal, right? That no matter what happens, you're like, I got a tool for this. I know I can do this. Right. And absolutely. What a great feeling that is, you know?
Yes. Yes. You walk in there confident and you may walk out with your confidence kind of broken a bit there. Right. But I think the big thing is that, you know, like a well-balanced diet, you may not like eating veggies and you may want ice cream all the time, but you can't have your cake and ice cream at the same time. You gotta have the veggies with it. You gotta eat the good stuff with the not so good stuff. As much as I don't like veggies, I will eat some.
I'm a grown up, darn it. If I want to eat cake and ice cream, I'm gonna.
Oh, yeah.
If the president doesn't have to eat his broccoli, neither do I. If I just age myself big time, I know. But yeah.
Oh man.
But you're right. I mean, that's a really important thing. Like one of the seminars that has stuck with me most, and I've done several over the years, that I've gotten some really good stuff out of. But one of them was Hex was two. I'd only ever done AKC, and Loretta Mueller was coming to town, and Natalie was going to be running. And it just so happened the only spot in the seminar was on the international day. I had never run an international course in my life. My dog was 2 years old and not trained for it. And I don't know if any of you have seen me run. I am not fast. I'm just going to say that right now. And while my dog actually had more skills than I realized, because I had actually for the first time taken some guidance, sort of blindly taking guidance at class and teaching stuff. And so I actually had more skills than I realized I had. But I went to the seminar and I will never forget, as long as I live, there were like two times that there was this handling set and people were struggling. Everybody was struggling with it. And I just did. Loretta's like, I want you to do this, and then I want you to do this, and you want to do this. And for once in my miserable life, and it doesn't happen very often in agility, I'm going to tell you that right now, I actually did it in good timing, and it worked, and my dog did it, and I completely lost my head and didn't do anything else after it both times. But, you know, that feeling, going out of my comfort zone, doing a course that was way over my head, and doing what the instructor just being like, I don't understand what I'm doing here, but I'm just going to do it. Oh man. Like that's 7 years later. My dog is 9 now. 7 years later, I still remember that feeling, you know, and it made me better. Like I wasn't prepared to learn those courses. I wasn't prepared for the skills. And yeah, there was stuff that was clearly over both of our pay grades, but really, I mean, it ended up being a really good and memorable experience. And, you know, something that I wouldn't trade for anything, you know? And just because I was brave enough to be like, yeah, I'm not ready for this, but I'm going to go for it. I'm going to see how much I can learn. And I learned a lot.
Absolutely. And speaking of learning, you know, you don't have to necessarily be in a working spot. Auditing, you can learn truly almost as much, if not more, than you do if you get in a working spot there. Why do I say that? Because I had to actually experience that, not by my own choice, but because Kyber's genetically soft pads that happened to burn in one right. Session there. So I sat out the next day because for at least a couple hours, because I wanted to get home and get the rental car and before it got dark and get all that taken care of. But I spent a couple hours there. I got to videotape people. I got to actually watch people handle things. I got to listen to the presenter actually discussing different ways to tackle training issues and ways to handle different different sequences and different course problems. And it was really interesting because I will say the first day I was kind of more in tune with Kyber, just, you know, paying attention to him and working him and getting him ready to go rather than me actually really paying attention to everybody else working. So honestly, you know, sometimes just auditing is just as good. And honestly, it's less expensive too on top of that.
Absolutely. I will say though, on the other side of it, I have known people, and I think you have to kind of walk this line. Like, you want to go to a seminar and you want to go with an open mind and you want to learn and you want to try. The other thing though, I've seen people do sometimes is they like to hop from seminar to seminar to seminar. And they like to be like, you know, they have one instructor that teaches, that one seminar presenter that teaches one way, and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm all in. I'm going to totally do everything this person says. And then 6 months later, they go to somebody else's seminar, like, oh my gosh, I'm all in. I'm going to do everything this person says. And meanwhile, the poor dog is back here going, you know. And so I think too, like, you want to also be thoughtful about what you're doing and not be like, hey, dog, we're going to totally revamp everything every however many months because, you know, I went to a seminar. And that's not okay either. Like, you go and you learn and you try, and there's going to be some stuff that you're like, this works really well for me and my dog, or I can see how this is going to work really well if I give this some time. Like, because not everything's, of course, a quick fix. But also you may be like, this is really interesting. And like you say, that's where auditing can really come in handy. And, you know, then you have a dog down the road. Maybe it's a dog you're working with, or a dog, a student or something like that, or a puppy you get in the future. And you're like, oh man, this technique that I learned at this seminar would be great for this dog. You know, maybe it wasn't good for the dog I had at the time. And so, you know, you want to go with an open mind and you want to be working, but also don't turn your poor dog into a guinea pig. It's still a dog. Like,
right.
You know, you can take stuff and adjust and learn, and you always want to be improving, but also you don't want to be like, hey, let's just retrain everything all the time. Cause then your dog's going to be like, they're not going to know, you know, and then you're going to think nobody's method works because you're perpetually retraining everything. So right. I will give that caveat if you're doing seminars.
Yes. Don't reinvent the wheel. You're just there to kind of add more tasks or add more training skills to your bucket there. And, you know, and maybe everything you take from the seminar isn't going to apply to you because one, not every seminar presenter, especially if you get one from Europe, you're not going to be running, you know, European courses possibly. You know, I went there specifically because I'm looking for world team skill sets and European skills to help me get to that next level there. And maybe you're not looking for that, but you're looking for another eye. And that is perfectly fine. But maybe the skill set you're looking for isn't what that presenter is going to give you. So, you know, always take that in mind, what level is good for your dog and what you're trying to accomplish out of that point there.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and the other thing too, like, and this goes along with going out of your comfort zone, is also if you go to a seminar and, you know, and you're like, okay, I trust this person and I believe, and it doesn't mean you have to trust them blindly. But if you go to a seminar, especially a situation like your seminar that you went to, you get two different presenters. And sometimes when somebody says something, they're like, oh, you're not cueing this cross, this turn at a good time, and the dog is not making his best possible turn or something. And sometimes when we hear stuff, or maybe your dog isn't sprinting deep enough into the dog walker, you know, whatever. And sometimes our reaction is, well, what do you mean? Just here? You know what I mean? Like, even if you don't say anything, you're... internal reaction is like, what do you mean? Part of humbling yourself to go to the seminar is not even only being willing to try new things, but also being willing to be like, huh, maybe that is a weakness and I didn't realize it. Like, you know, like maybe I thought my weakness was my A-frame contact, but actually my dog walk is an issue too and I didn't really realize it. You know, and so you paid for those eyes on the ground, you paid for that opinion. If you trust them and you believe them, then maybe go, maybe there's something happening that I didn't see, that I didn't realize, you know? So that's a part of humbling yourself too.
Yep. Too. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I tell you what, I really enjoyed that seminar. I haven't been to one in Oh, gosh. I don't even know, honestly, last seminar I've been to, just because, well, one, COVID really kind of killed a lot of traveling, a lot of seminars. And then, of course, I spent half my year judging last year. And, yeah, it was a full year last year, so just couldn't make it. So this year I decided I'm stepping out. I'm going to make the plans to go specifically targeted where I want to be for training and trialing and competing and not let anything stop me this year. I mean, within reason, of course.
Right. You know.
So.
That's awesome. And that's, you know, and that's how you get, like I say, that's how you get farther. What is it? If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten or something like that. So, yeah.
Yep, trying to do new stuff, trying to get moving, and keep on trucking.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, I mean, and that's something I would love to hear, you know, in the comments in this podcast. Like, I'd love to hear people talk about ways they've pushed themselves. Like, how have you gone out of your comfort zone? How have you pushed yourself? And how did it feel afterwards? Like, you know, did it feel good? Are you glad you did it? Are you like, oh, man. Regrets, because sometimes it happens too. But my guess is that more often than not, you know, you're like, that was a good move. Go me, you know.
Well, and I think even from a competing standpoint, as far as like stepping out of your comfort zone, what I love about UKI is that they give you that chance to attend bigger events. You can do local events, and they're small and they're easy to get to, and there's probably not a whole lot of competitors there, but then you have the chance to kind of step into that, not necessarily go to the U.S. Open where we have 1,000 dogs that you're running around with, but you can go to one of the classics or the cups where you have a chance to have that bigger experience and step into that bigger world without taking a complete splash there. And I love it because it's only a 3-day event instead of the marathon that the Open has turned into, which is now I think 5-6 days now at this point, which is ungodly. I mean, we're going to take our first big step into UKI this year because we're going to the Invitationals, and that is going to be a big one for us because nobody knows how that's going to turn and how it's going to turn out because this is the first year for it. So right. It's going to be, I think everybody's going to be a little nervous because we've been told that the courses are going to be harder than they were at the Open. I don't know what that means. Nobody does.
But you're going to find out. Here we go.
Exactly. we're going to go into blindfolded and hope for the best.
Well, you know, and I think you bring up a good point, too. Like, stepping out of your comfort zone in a show situation doesn't even necessarily mean – it can mean something like going to a big event. It can mean trying a venue. Like, if you're used to doing AKC, trying UKI – or something like that. But the other thing it can be is even, like, I remember when I started training better skills in agility, where I wasn't just training to be jogging next to my dog, which is how we all trained this in the beginning, back in the olden times, right? And I remember the first time I had the cojones, if you will, to send my dog to the end of the dog walk and start moving laterally for my next thing. Or the first time I sent to the weed poles and recrossed them. Or sent to the weed poles and left her and went, I trained this. Let's take this puppy for a ride. And that can be another form of coming out of your comfort zone because it, especially, you know, we go to a show, we want to be successful. And it's like, no, can I do this? And, you know, I used to do, I still do, like the loser's challenge, you know, like sometimes there's something that I'm like, I'm not sure we have this skill, but if the wheels fell off the bus earlier and they've come back on, then I'm going to try this. But I'm also, absolutely, because I push myself, I'm a lot more willing to trust my training and be like, all right, I know I can move away from my dog in the ring. So I'm going to send the weed poles and go. And I remember when I went to the Invitational with Hex and I did that in one of our first courses, you're nervous, right? It's a big, that's absolutely the biggest event I've run at. Okay.
Absolutely.
And I get there and I saw it and I was like, ooh, this would be a really good place to leave her in the weed poles. Cause if I left her and went past the next jump, that would cue that turn better. Cause you had to weave and then jump and then you had to turn right away. And I first wasn't going to do it. And I'm like, well, you fool, you did all this work. You know, your dog can do it. Why would you chicken out just because you're here? And what's the worst thing that's going to happen is it's not going to work. you know, oh well. Right. And I did it right. And it worked and she ended up in finals and that's part of it. You know what I mean? Like every part of a second counts. And so like, you know, that's part of your going out of your comfort zone too, is being like, yeah, I trained this. My dog understands it. Let's take this stuff for a spin and not just be backyard warriors, you know, never having the guts to try it in the ring and see what happens, you know? And
that's right. The same. I remember, well, because Pix is my first quote unquote off breed for agility, which although yeah. they seem becoming more and more popular now, my first time because with border collies are, I hate to say it, they're easy to train, but they are because they just work, right. And you know, you can do it. Well, Pix being the first one I've ever had that I have limited training time, and mm-hmm. I knew he could do weeples at home, but we get to trials and it would fall apart. Couldn't do weave pulls. Well, we managed to get through it enough to get through into master jumpers, but God forbid we could get a running dog walk, but I could not get the weave pulls in standard for whatever reason. Well, then, you know, you finally have that moment of like, you know, just screw it. I mean, if I screw it up, I screw it up. And then all of a sudden that pressure's gone and all of a sudden, hey, this works. And then now you all of a sudden you feel better going, yes, I can do this. And then that clairvoyance you have all of a sudden transcends into all your other runs and your other training and you feel better. And it's just that stress point of stepping outside going, screw it. You know what? If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. We'll go back and we'll fix it instead of trying to panic and freak out at that point.
Right. You know, I think that brings a good point. Like, you know, when we trial like we train, when we go for it, you know, because we're pretty brave in our backyard, right? Because it's like, well, who cares? You know,
right. The neighbors
don't give a exactly. rip. So I'm just going to go. Like, I mean, right. I don't know about you, but like when I'm training and I live on the highway, so like people stop and watch. I mean, my dog could be absolutely screwing everything up. They'd be like, wow, that's the neatest thing. So no pressure, you know? So right. I, you know, you go. And so that's the feel the dog is used to. And then we get to a trial and the energy is amped up and everything. And then the human's weird. And then they're bit all this pressure on and overmanaging. And how many times do we see somebody's not confident about something? And so they try to babysit it. And exactly what happens is the dog does it worse. And when you're like screw it, like I'm just walk. Running. Yeah, like a dog walk or an A-frame. Oh my God. You have an idea how long I ran my throwing masters before I went, maybe instead of babysitting this damn A-frame. And then I'd get the A-frame, but I'd screw up whatever was right after it because I was out of position because I was babysitting the A-frame. And I'm embarrassed. I literally don't know, but I'm going to tell you it was a long time that I was in masters before maybe I should consider training the A-frame and just running like it's going to happen instead of trying to babysit it and act like a fool.
Right. Yeah, know? Because as a judge, the more you hesitate and the more you body block me from trying to see what's going on, the more I'm going to be interested going, what's mm-hmm. going on over there? What you hiding from me?
Right. Hey, I may have an iffy A-frame with Hex, but at least I just go, man. I just go. Right. And, you know, I don't even look back in the ring. I don't even look back. I'm like, she's either going to hit it or she's not. And you're going to either put your hands in the air or you're not. And there's nothing I'm going to do to fix it. And if I start getting all weird, she's probably going to leap from the apex. So I just run. You know,
what's the saying, train like you trial and trial like you train? Is that, uh-huh. I think that's the phrase.
I think that might be it, you know? Well, it's like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Your hands are going to go in the air and I'm not going to pass. Right. I have never had the sun not come up tomorrow because I didn't pass.
Right.
And I've not passed a lot. So the sun had a lot of opportunities to go through it.
I mean, the temperature may have like frozen hell back over again, like it did this week.
Yeah, but it came back up again, you know.
It did. It did come back up, yes. But the temperature dropped like it froze over.
Right. It did. But I didn't even fail then, man. So I'm just going to say, like that, it wasn't. Yeah, I went up and I ran rally this last weekend. I ran 12 times. I passed 12 times. And then it still hell froze over. So maybe that's why hell froze over. But, you know, I didn't make it froze over because I screwed up. I'm just going to say. Just going to say. So there. You know.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. All the good times. I'm excited because this weekend we're doing UKI. We're getting kind of prepped there. And then 4 weeks later, happy birthday to me. I'm turning getting closer to that 40 mark, and we're going to be at the invite. So, yay, yay. We're, yeah, it's time is flying by. As soon as I get older and older, time flies faster.
Oh, you're just a kid. I'm halfway past that 40 mark now. Yeah.
And you don't look a day over 21. So there you go.
You're a good guy. I'm going to take it. I've reached the age where I really like it when they card me. And even though I recently worked in a job where I had to card everybody, and sometimes I yelled at them, I'm going to tell you, though, of all the people I had to guard, the women almost never complained. I'm just going to say it. They were like, oh, thank you.
They appreciate that.
And I'm going to – this is nothing to do with jog training agility, but one thing I will say, if you work in a place where you sell alcohol and you have to card people and you card a woman and or anybody, but especially a woman, and they say thank you, don't say, I have to card everybody. We don't want to hear that. We want to believe in our soul. Even if we know it's true, we want to believe in our soul that you honestly thought we might be in the vicinity of 21. And even if we know it's not the case, lie to us. That's a
lying is okay in that situation.
That's just one of the rare times I am all for truth. It's not even, you don't even have to lie, but don't say it. Just don't say it. Don't say I have to card you. And it doesn't matter if you look like you're 102. I still have to card you. What you say is, can I please see your ID? And they like, oh, thank you. You're like, oh, yeah. I just had to make sure. Something. That's all you got to do.
Well, now you mention it. Now I feel really old because I can count multiple times now grocery store restaurants where nobody – like this weekend, I was judging UK up in Wisconsin, which I love Canine Sports Zone. Fun up there. I didn't even get carded. They just said, what do you want? I go, just give me a glass of wine. Not even a glance, not even a second look. Grocery store clerk didn't even ask. Just said, okay, thanks. Here you go.
Like, yeah, but you're in Wisconsin, the land of alcohol as well. Like,
oh, no, the grocery store was home. Like, I was home.
Oh, and they didn't even. You were in Wisconsin when you were getting the wine. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. No. So I got the bottle of wine at the grocery store. Didn't even question me at home. And then I went to the restaurant in Wisconsin. Didn't even look at me twice. Just said, okay, great. We'll bring it to you. I'm like, this is what it feels like getting old.
Take it with a grain of salt in Wisconsin. You can take your kid to the bar with you, right? Like, so.
Right.
It's okay. Like, don't, you know, it's just, I all the love for Wisconsin. I'm just kind of giving you guys crap, but you know, that's an Iowa thing. Like you got, you know, all states do that, right? Like you have to give your neighboring states crap. Although I feel like we don't pick on Missouri that much. I don't feel like Iowa and Missouri pick on each other as much as say Iowa and Minnesota or Iowa and Nebraska. I don't know.
Feel like, honestly, I'll be honest. Half the time I don't even think that Iowa's connected to Missouri. It just doesn't feel like it. I don't know why.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know why, because it's right down there. Like,
I touched on the south border, so mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know. I just don't think of you guys as a neighbor.
I see how it is. Maybe you're just not that friendly, Jeff. Have you ever thought about that?
Well, I mean, ooh. I haven't told that. Oh, ouch, ooh. Ouch, man. Friendship over with. We're done.
Well, it's been a fun run with Four Paws Sports, but now.
Well, you know what? When you move to Utah, we can be friends again.
Okay. Well, that won't take long, so I guess we're all right.
All right. We'll survive. Yeah. Well, it's been entertaining for the night, but, you know, I got to go back and do adult things, unfortunately.
Yeah, I got a couple of dogs that I probably should make presentable before they do rally tomorrow. I'm sure they'll be thrilled. But.
Well, you have a good night, and we will talk to you out there on the trails out there, and have a good night.
And push your comfort zone. Have a good night, everybody.